Our scripture reading today comes from the book of John, chapter 13, verses 31 to 35. Listen now for the word of the Lord. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I had loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciple, if you have love for one another." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Let us pray. Most gracious God, I am a sinner saved by your grace, but I know all you have to do is say the word, and I shall be healed long enough to do your work and to do your will. Lord, I pray that you would hide this preacher behind the cross, that your people might see you and not me, that they might hear you and not me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Quite often when we hear a movie star or an actor or celebrity say, "I love you," to the fans, do they really love the fans? Do they really know the fans? Or are they just grateful that we go to their movies and we buy their CDs and we buy all the stuff that they're offering? It's about the money, isn't it? It's about dollars and cents. But I wondered if we stop buying their stuff, their shoes, their clothing items, perfumes, if we stop buying it, would they still say, "I love you"? I think not. But today, I'm not talking about platonic love. I'm not talking about a love that has conditions. Today, I want to challenge your thinking with the thought, love of a different kind, a different kind of love. Charles Swindoll talks about this, and he says, love of a different kind. He shares this story of a farmer who's getting ready to post a sign that he wants to sell some puppies. And just as he gets the sign in, a little boy shows up, tugs on his overalls, and he says, "Mister, I'd really like to buy one of those puppies." And the man said, "Well, you know, these puppies come from a fine line, and they cost a great deal." And the little boy says, "I've got 39 cents. Is that enough?" He said, "No, son, that's not enough money." The little boy put his head down, and then he raised his head back up again, and he said, "I only have 39 cents. Can I take a look?" And the man said, "All right." And so he says, "Molly, come here, Molly." And here comes Molly out the door and four little fur balls following her. And the little boy's eyes dance with delight. But just as he was watching them, there was a little latecomer. Peeked his head out, and he sort of hobbled down the little ramp, trying to keep up with his other brothers and sisters. And the little boy watched him closely, and he says, "I want that one." And the man said, "Son, you don't want this one." He said, "Yes, I do. I want that one. And he says, you know, you run fast. You probably play hard. This little puppy is never going to be able to do that. You don't want this one. The little boy lift up his pants leg, and he showed that he had two metal rods on each side of his leg that went down into a special boot. And he said, you see, mister, I don't run so well either. And this puppy needs somebody who's going to understand him. The man was so touched by what he said, he gave him the puppy free of charge. I like that story. Because sometimes I think that we too don't run so well. Amen? Some of us who are over 35, that's who I'm talking to. For those of us who are over 35, we don't run so well anymore. And maybe sometimes we get tired of trying to keep up with other folks. But my friends, there's some good news today. And the good news is that Jesus has all power. And God, the Father, says to Jesus, what do you want? And he points to each one of us and he says, I want that one. He overlooks our faults, overlooks our weaknesses. And he says, give me that one. Isn't that good news today? That he loves us with a love that won't let us go. And I tell you, I'm so glad about it. When I think about this particular text, you can think of it as Jesus' valedictory address or his farewell address. Now, what I like about the lectionary is that sometimes the lectionary doesn't always move forward. Sometimes it moves back so that we can capture a story, because maybe when we're going through the seasons, we might miss something. And so it came back to this particular story. They're in the upper room. Judas has already betrayed Jesus and has left his presence. And there are 11 remaining disciples. And of all the things that Jesus could share with them, he shares this text. I'm going to be glorified. And the Father will glorify me, and I'll be glorified in him. But it's three things that I want you to remember. That you love one another. As I have loved you, that you love one another. He says it a second time. And then he says, they'll know that you are my disciples a third time if you love one another. Somehow this is the distinguishing mark that marks us as committed folks, that marks us as true disciples, if we love one another. Notice it didn't say if you put up with somebody. Hello. Notice it doesn't even say if you like them. But it says, if you love them, they'll know that you're my disciples. I tell you, as I was thinking about this text and thinking about the way that I have been loved in my life, it's an amazing thing to me. I have a friend by the name of Walter Boyd. We grew up together. And Walter loves me so much, and even back then, I couldn't even have a good fight because Walter would jump in and fight for me. And I got into a lot of fights. But Walter loves me that much that he would put himself at risk just for me. I'm the godfather of all of his children. We're not wild and crazy as we were when we were young. But he loves me with a love that overlooks my faults. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And he looks at my heart. And it's an amazing thing. It's a love of a different kind. I want to share with you my other friend, Frank Archibald McAtini, who's from South Africa. We met in undergrad. I went to a Jesuit college, St. Peter's College, and we both went on this silent retreat. We talked the whole time. I just want you to know that. And we went from friendship to family. And I'm the godfather of all of his children. But it's an amazing thing to be loved like this. I have a friend, Robert Davis, my chaplain in the Marine Corps. Met him in 1984. And the first thing he said to me was, "Are you running from a call?" How did he know I was running from a call? And he was very instrumental into preparing me for the ministry. We talk every single day on the phone. My natural father was not a part of my life growing up, probably past 5 years old. But to have somebody invested in you in this way, it's an amazing thing. You see, God has given us friendships, and friendships can be like jewels. They can bless you because these people want to encourage you. They just want the best out of you. But when you add love to it, it becomes powerful. Something that you can't ever buy, to be loved like that. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And that's how God loves us. I want that one. I want that one. Father, I'll take that one. And that's what the Father does. I was reading this story. It was of a man who said that he went outside and he just wanted to experience nature. And when he went outside, he was really touched by the beauty of God's creation. And he began to sort of pray and talk to the Lord. And the Lord asked him this question: "Do you love me?" And the man said, "You're my Lord and Savior. Yes, I love you." And the Lord said, "But what if you were handicapped? Would you love me then?" The man said he thought about it. He looked at his hands. He looked at his legs. He started thinking about all the things that he wouldn't be able to do if he was handicapped. And he thought about how he had taken for granted his arms and his legs. He said, "Lord, even if I didn't have arms and legs, and if I was handicapped in some way, I would still love you." And the Lord said, "What if you were blind? What if you couldn't see my creation? Would you still love me?" It's like, what a question. Lord, how could I love it if I couldn't see it? But and the man thought to himself, there are many people who are not able to see, and they have a great relationship with God. So he says, "Yes, Lord, even if I couldn't see, I would still love you." And so God said, "What if you were deaf and you couldn't hear? Would you still love me?" I can imagine the guy's going, "Where is this going?" So if I couldn't hear the sounds, if I couldn't hear God's word, would I still love him? I said, maybe God is telling me that the word of God ought to be in my heart. It's not just in my hearing, but it's in my heart. Lord, I would still love you. This story goes on, and it's a few more examples, but I don't want to bore you with it. But God says to the man, he says, "You know, I notice that the only time you really pray is when things are tough. But when I've blessed you, you don't really give thanks. I've even sent people your way so that they would serve with you. and you push them away. The Lord said, why do sometimes when you pray, your prayers are so selfish? Why is that? Why haven't you taught your family about me? Why haven't you shared the good news that salvation is for all? Why have you kept that to yourself? And the man said, there were no words, only tears. And he said, Lord, please forgive me. And God says, hey, that's where grace is applied. You're right, but let's work on it together. And this is what God said to him. I will never leave you, neither will I forsake you. When there's joy in your heart, there'll be joy in mine. When you hurt, I hurt. I'll always be there for you. Even until the ends of the age, I'll be there with you. My friends, God's love is a love of a different kind. Amen? Because God sees us, overlooks our faults. He overlooks the times when we're not faithful to him. And he tries to keep us on that path just so that we can be in relationship and be able to talk to us. But the kind of love that God loves us with, it dusts us off and it props us back up and says, try again. I love that kind of love. Anybody? It's a kind of love that won't let us go. It's a kind of love that can fill you, can feed you all at the same time. It's not the kind of love that we offer sometimes. Conditional love. If you do this for me, I'll do that for you. If you buy my products, I love you. No, God loves us with agape love. With agape love. He loves us, period. Nothing we can do about it. But I think that the kind of love that God loves us with, he wants us to love others. Notice he says it three times. They'll know that you're my disciples if you love one another. Let us be thinking about that love. Let us think about our actions. Even as that man had prayed and had that conversation with God, it touched me. It made me think about faithfulness and unfaithfulness, about areas of my life that I need to do better, places where I need to ask for forgiveness. Daniel, would you lead us in a word of prayer? Would you join hands with the person next to you? You never know what the person next to you is going through. You've never know what they've been through unless you know them personally. But today we join hands so that we can be on one accord in the Spirit and that God might do a great work this day.
Let us bow our heads. Dear God of love, you created us to glorify the message of love you gave us in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We glorify you by going out into a world characterized by pain, darkness, and suffering. This is not always an easy path for us to walk. It is riddled with trials and tribulations for the person whom you call to walk this path. But we know that you are walking beside us as we answer your call to love the wounded, care for the spiritually downtrodden, and heal the hurts of life. This single word, love, takes many shapes and forms and is something that we cannot fully understand. But it is this very immense definition that allows love to conquer all the forms of hate found in our political atmosphere and rallies, the sadness from loss and pain, and the greed from selfish motivations in our own lives. God, you are love, and called us to glorify you by showing you to the world and to each other. We pray that you touch each of our lives, that we may invest love in this world and in each other that we encounter inside and outside these walls. As we pray the Lord's Prayer, printed in your bulletin, let us remember that you, God, are our strength and our source of life, and that Jesus' life and message glorified you because of this love. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come.